Good morning. Good morning. Wow, we are right on time, or otherwise known as late. But anyway, hey, listen, I want to welcome you this morning back to the auditorium for Sunday school. Ladies, welcome. I was thinking about keeping the men on this side and the ladies on this side, just so we could keep our, but I thought, man, that's, you know, a visitor walk in, you're like, what's going on here? And so we typically have the ladies meet in the back and the men meet out here. But when we have missionaries here on Sunday morning, we want to get as much as we can from here from the missionary. So if you haven't got, everybody got a trading card? Did everybody get one? You may not get a trading card. Get the missionary to sign it, and it doubles its value, right? Matter of fact, it becomes invaluable. The only way to get that after today is to go to the Netherlands, right? And that's a little more expensive. See what I'm saying? The value, right? And so we're excited to have the Crays with us and our missionary there in the Netherlands, and excited to hear about more. We read their letters. We hear about them. We pray for them. We pray for the needs and the things that come up. And but, you know, we don't always have a it's hard to sometimes really pray in that way when all you have is a picture of people. And sometimes that's all we have. Sometimes that's all we have, and for years. And so there's going to be some people that they reach and we'll never see until glory, right? But when they get here and we get to know them, and Miss Liz can say, we know them, right? Amen. And so now we're going to know them. We're going to get to know them. And they do have, they've traveled this morning. They're going to travel this afternoon. They got a long ways to go to another conference they're going to be doing. And so after the service, we're not going to have a lot of time. So try to get all the time you can in the 10 minutes between services. And so, but otherwise, I mean, come on ahead, brother. And he's going to come and do all that's set before him. Amen.
Amen. But I'm not good with technology. Technology hates me. So I'm going to do my best. I am Brother Eric. My wife, Lisa. It's been probably, some pastor, it's been 5 years at least since we've been here. And it's good to be back and see the church doing well. It's not always so when we come back from on a furlough and just see the church thriving. It's a real blessing. We got saved in August of 2006. And the Lord did, he took a couple of drunks, a couple of motorcycle people, a couple of race car drivers, people that you wouldn't think could do anything for the Lord. He turned us into missionaries. And I never thought that would happen, to be honest with you. And if you'd have told me when I got saved that God could use me for anything, I'd have called you a liar. But as we grew in the Lord and we grew in the knowledge of our Bibles, God kind of directed us. It was at a revival that God called me to preach. A man preached a message called Save, Saved, and Saved. I know it doesn't make sense in the title, but that's the message they preached. And I talked to somebody before service. I think God wants me to do something. I just don't know what. And he said, just ask the Lord through the meeting, and maybe he'll tell you at the end. And the preacher kind of stuck his finger out to the crowd, and that finger struck my heart and said, I want you to preach. And I got down in the front and committed my life to the Lord that whatever he would have me to do from that moment, I was already saved. And I told him that I would do something, and they called me to preach. And then we got into a good Bible-believing church after that. We weren't in a good church at that point. It was one that everything was all over the place. You had some Calvinists, you had some Arminians, you had some Pentecostals, you had some tongue speakers, you had some all this different kinds of stuff in it. My buddy's like, you need to get into a good church. And we ended up going to Cornerstone Baptist Church in Findlay, Ohio. I went on a Wednesday night. Lisa said, I'm not going to no Baptist church. Those people are judgmental. They're just mean. And you know where we came from. You know, they would never accept us into that church. And I went, and we were in the motorcycle lifestyle, so you can imagine what that led to in my life. So I went and wore kind of a leatherish kind of outfit to go to church and riding my motorcycle there. And everybody was real nice to me. And So I went home and I told Lisa, this is going to be our church from now on. This is our new home church. She's like, yours, not mine. But by Sunday, that was a Wednesday night, by Sunday, the Lord had dealt with her, and we went to Cornerstone. And wasn't too long into that, I told Pastor, I believe God wanted me to serve somewhere, somehow. I thought missions. He's like, go stand in the Welcome Center. I was like, yes, sir, this is your church. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. So we stood in the Welcome Center. We greeted people to church, and I was like, Pastor, I still think the Lord wants me to go into missions. And he's like, okay, we'll see. Missions conference comes along. Guy was preaching about the missions, and somehow I heard the Netherlands in there, Holland, as most Americans call it, and he said the people are leaving the mission field there, and they're not going back, and I'm like, oh man, that's too bad for those Dutch people. They sure could use a missionary, and the Lord was like, you said you would go anywhere. You would do anything that I asked you to do. And I was like, yeah, somebody did say that. I'm not sure exactly who that was, but somebody said that, Lord. And I did tell him that. And about a year and a half later, I finally told Lisa. I fought it. We stayed in the Welcome Center. We tried to serve the Lord best we could in the Welcome Center. But just that bother inside of me. And somebody came along and said, hey, there's somebody who needs some help in Vietnam. You ought to go check out on this. And so we went to talk to this guy about working with orphans in Vietnam. And as soon as the guy walked in the door and started talking, the Lord was like, the Netherlands. I told you where to go. You need to go there. And Lisa was like, I finally told her on the way from that meeting, okay, this is not what the Lord wants. He wants us to go to the Netherlands or to minister to the Dutch. It's like, you mean the Dutch Antilles, right? The islands where it's nice and tropical. That's where we're going, right? And I was like, no, we're actually going to the Netherlands, I believe. So we went back and talked to the pastor again, and we started deputation. That's when we came down here and we met you. Probably our third month of deputation. We met some of you. I guess that'd be 2015, probably, I would imagine. And the story goes on from there. We were able to, I'm not going to get into the whole the deal, but we'll get into that later. But I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a pretty common scripture, and I believe this to be true for what the Lord did in our lives. And if you have any questions, I don't know if now's the time. Questions now or later. If you got any questions about the ministry as you go there, I'd be happy to answer them. Some of them will click through, but God can use anybody. And if we'll humbly submit ourselves, yield ourselves to the will of God, He'd use you somewhere, somehow. We got to want to. And I believe 2 Corinthians 5:17 is where I'm going to start, and that's not where I'm going to end. But therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I believe that's what happened, and I know that's what happened the day that we got saved. That old man, that old thought process, that old desire to just live for self and just want to do what I wanted to do, that was gone. That old man, he comes back every now and again. Usually when I wake up in the morning, and then not too long after I'm up in the morning, as I'm reading my Bible in the morning, that old man, he comes back through. I'm trying to read my Bible this morning, and all the thoughts of the day and all these things come in. That's that old man. That's that battle that goes on when the Christian gets saved. That's why God gives us the armor, the whole armor of God. We'll get there, but the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, you would say that I'm still in this body. This body didn't change when I got saved. But the driving force behind this body is what changed. and I'll show you that in verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Lisa and I were talking about this on the way here. Our motivation changed. It's not about us anymore. I preached a message years ago about the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. And I believe that's the case. Our heart, according to Jeremiah 17, our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? I, the Lord, right? I try the hearts. He tries the reins. He tests us every now and again. And we'll go to James in a little bit and see how all that works. But it's that love of Christ that constraineth us. It's what drives us. It's what, when you realize what the Lord Jesus Christ really did for you the moment that you got saved, what He really had to go through for you, it should change. And it wasn't, people say missionaries, you sacrifice everything to go to the mission field. I didn't give up anything. Jesus gave up everything. In 1 Peter, it talks about that precious blood of Christ. That's what happened. He did everything. And for me to say, and beyond this Father's Day, right? My wife, she had to trust me enough that when I said, I want God wants us to go to the mission field, that she would follow. So there's a bit of leadership that had to come. One, she knew that the Lord was guiding me. And as the Lord was guiding me, that she was safe in following. But she knew that it was the love of Christ that was the driving force behind everything that we were going to do from that moment on. It constrains us. It forces us. You say, well, God's not a God that's going to force me to do anything. Yeah, but He created those things for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it goes on. It doesn't go there. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. This is part of that new creature. It's part of that new man, that new person when you got saved. We know that Colossians talks about that cutting away of the flesh, that spiritual circumcision where we're not the same anymore. That's the new creature that it's talking about. Old Testament, New Testament, new creature. We have all those. We're new. Verse 10 is where I want to go. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't do it because we have to. We don't do it because we need to keep doing these proper things to be saved. When you got saved, you become that new creature. You're washed. Your soul is cleansed. Your spirit is then seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's already fixed. But it's this meat sack that we walk around in that's always going to be the trouble. It has its own desires. But I'm telling you, that if we stay close to the Lord, that's where verse 10 comes in. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Right? That's the new thought. That's that new mind that we have. It's not going after the old things. Now we're driven towards that by this. I hate this world. I love the people in this world. I want all people to be saved. But this system, this demonic system that we're living in now, I cannot stand it. Because I see the pull in what it's trying to do to young people and in the home and feminism and all these things. Just what it's doing to the culture itself. I just can't stand it. But I'm not part of it. Right? And we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we're ambassadors for Christ. We have dual citizenship now, right? We're citizens of heaven, but we're ambassadors for Christ while we're here. And that is a little bit of Holy Ghost conviction just thinking about that. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to get away from this all morning. What Jesus Christ has done for us in giving us a home in heaven is what we should be thinking on as we do everything in this life. Everything. You get out of bed for Jesus Christ. You say, well, that's a little... You get out of bed for Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. For we are His workmanship. He did the work, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See, that's the challenge. Is he puts all these things in front of us that are godly and righteous and holy and are a blessing to Him. And He says, I'm laying all these things out here that you should walk in those things. You should. And as you do, you're staying close to the Lord. You're exercising that new creature. You're exercising that righteousness that He has given you. Because you don't get your own righteousness by works. Now, biblically, you don't have your own righteousness. You're given You're imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's laid that on you. You don't work for your own righteousness, but you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have it inside. That new creature, it needs to come out. That's why you come to church. So your neighbor can say, there's something strange about that neighbor of mine getting up on Sunday mornings and Wednesdays and going back to church on Sunday night. Going back to church on Sunday night and Wednesdays. Those are those things that you should do. I know some things keep people from going to church, but that's not a good enough excuse. You should be here when the doors are open. Amen. That's something that you should do. And I say the same things to our people. So they should be there because you need to be where God's people are, especially good Hebrews chapter 10. A good application, especially in the day, especially because you are now. If you're saved this morning, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you have works that you should do. And part of those works that you should do is being here. Especially as we see the day approaching. And that's what Hebrews 10:25 says. You know all these verses. This is nothing new for you, but it's coming from a different mouth. And I've learned that if it comes from a different mouth, that usually, maybe, possibly, it's going to click. Maybe. Because I've preached things I preached through the whole book of Proverbs from beginning to end, verse by verse, all the way through, almost 4 years. Somebody came in and preached. And I skipped stuff. I mean, I could have took another year on that. And then somebody came in and preached on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and everybody got it. They didn't get it when I said it, but I mean, that's one of the most simple verses in the Bible, but I must have made it too complicated. But Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Listening to your radio, turning on the news, which I don't recommend too much, but you're going to do it anyway. You can see the day is approaching. You can see the whole world turning anti-Semitic, which is prophesied to happen. You can see the one world government lining up in order. You can see all those things happening. You know the day is approaching. And what does he tell us that we need to do? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You should be around your brothers and sisters in Christ as much as you can. Encouraging one another to live for God. I'm convinced that we say, don't be offended by this too much. You might be, but I don't mean to offend you by this. We say constantly that we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible. But when it comes to actually doing things for God, we're atheists. I see it over there. I see it here. We're practical atheists when it comes to, hey, I believe my neighbor is not saved and that person's going to hell. We say we believe hell is fire and brimstone, and death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, but they don't need to be saved. Somebody else will lead them to Christ. Somebody else will give them the gospel. I don't need to do it. Atheists, right? We believe the Lord, the rapture of the church is the next thing on God's calendar. I believe that. I know some people don't too much anymore. I believe that to be true. It's the next thing on God's calendar. It could happen by the time I'm done this morning. But there was an opportunity on the way for some of us to give somebody a gospel tract. And if we really believe that they were lost and on their way to hell and the Lord could get us out of here and they're going into the time of Jacob's trouble, I believe we would take things more serious. We believe that we're new creatures in Christ Jesus, but practical application is not always there. We don't show it. And in Philippians it says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We're trying to force the salvation of other people, but when it comes to our own, we're content. That's not what Paul says, whatever state I am therewith to be content. That's not what he's talking about. Let's talk about whether we're in poverty or whether we're on, in a shipwreck or whatever state we're in, that way to be content. Not in our basic Christian life. You should never, if you're content in your Christian life, you're a backslider. Unfortunate, but true. And in the day, maybe I'm taking some liberty I shouldn't take this morning, but there are some times when a pastor, a missionary would preach these kind of things, and people would just, oh, forget it, I'm done. I'm not going to be a part of this anymore. That's mean. That's hateful. That's biblical truth. And I think we need that more than anything in the day and the age that we're in. We need a little bit of truth. We don't need people coaxing our egos to feel good about ourselves. We are not doing what we should be doing as soldiers, as fighters, as runners for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be exercising our spiritual ability. And it happens, it comes out of here. It comes out of church. I don't need to be in church. Somebody on the internet told me I didn't need to be in church. Shut the internet off and get in church. We battle the internet over there too. Looks right, sounds right. 2% wrong, 2% of rat poison is what kills the rat. 2% of heresy and somebody you're watching online will poison you. Go back to 2 Corinthians. I know internet's a modern tool and I know it's out there to be used. It can be used right. It can be. But most people don't use it right. Most people are using it to get you to follow them over your pastor. It's a dangerous place. If you, somebody, I tell our folks this, and this is a little mission field stuff. I tell them, when your life falls apart, call your YouTube preacher. If he's such an influence and such a blessing to you, call him. When you go to the hospital, call him. When someone in your family dies, call him. Is he going to be there for you? No, they don't even know your name. You're just a subscriber, a click that they need to feed their families, I guess. I don't know. For the love of Christ constraineth us, 2 Corinthians 5:14. We do what we do because we love Jesus Christ. That's why I preach the way that I preach, is I love Jesus Christ. And I want people to love Jesus Christ as much as I do. I want people to serve Jesus Christ. I don't say that I do the best. I don't do the best. There are better missionaries out there. I guarantee it. But I'm doing what we can for the Lord Jesus Christ in a difficult mission field. And trying to stay close, to abide in John 15, where it says, you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. That I'm trying to stay and keep Lisa staying as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as we possibly can, so that we can stay on the mission field and stay encouraged in our Lord Jesus Christ and never forget how good, even when hundreds of people aren't getting saved on the mission field, that he is still good because some people are getting saved on the mission field. It's that love of Christ. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. You have to come to that realization that, hey, all people at some point were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1, you have to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's a salvation thing there, where you had to realize that you were dead in trespasses and sins. All were dead. But now in Christ, the love of Christ, just a simple gospel message there, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's that love of Christ, that you realize that you were dead, and when you believe the gospel, he made you alive. Unto something. Unto what? Unto good works that he had before ordained that you should walk in them. He empowers you to do the works. He empowered us. He gave us the support that we needed after a long time on deputation to get to the mission field and do the work of God. And we're going to continue it because of the love of Christ. Because we love Him. And when you experience that love for yourself, that love of Christ, it's life-changing. It should be. I would say if it wasn't life-changing, then maybe it never happened. Maybe you really aren't born again. Jesus said you must be born again. We had a lady that was sat in our church 5 years. 5 years, almost every service, came during the midweek service, and just one Sunday, all of a sudden, she realized, you know what? I'm not saved. I said a prayer. I got baptized, but it wasn't because I got saved. It was because I wanted to do what the pastor wanted me to do. Not born again. We had a young guy, Vlad. He's 23. Grew up in a Christian home, and sat in church, and just after a Wednesday night service, we're talking about salvation testimonies. We gave ours, another guy gave his, and Vlad was like, I've always been a Christian. We're like, Vlad, it doesn't work like that. You're not always a Christian. We dealt with him for about an hour and a half. He realized he needed to be born again, and he got born again. The prayer itself is not a saving tool. It is a tool that God uses, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, but it's a belief in thine heart that God hath raised her from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's coming to Him as a repentant sinner. Just the simplicity of the gospel, right? Acts 20:21. Repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. We have all those things, those works, right in the back of your mind. I do those good works because I want to be right with God. How do you mean that? You have to put off all those things. I'm talking about for salvation. You put off those things. The fact that you're here on Sunday morning, it doesn't make you saved. You do it because you are saved. But if you're counting on that for saving your soul, you got to put that over here. Repent towards God and have faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance isn't a dirty word. Some people think it's almost a curse word in Baptist circles, repentance. It's a turning from everything else to Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you'll be born again. Admit what you are, a sinner. Turn to Jesus Christ. Receive the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for you personally. That's when you became a new creature. You've experienced the love of Christ. You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then He gives you the ability that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. The death, the burial, and the resurrection again. And that's what drives now our service. We've experienced now the love of Christ. You admitted that you're dead, that Jesus Christ is alive, that you turn to Him for salvation. And then that's what puts you into the work. Something, somewhere that God can use you to do. Prison ministry, call to ministry. God put that call on you. Not a person. If a person's the one that called you to do something, then it's not going to last. If God called us to the Netherlands, and as long as God says, I want to keep you in the Netherlands, we're going to stay in the Netherlands. But I'm not so naive to think that God couldn't come along in a few years and say, hey, I want you to go over here. And you'll see on the prayer card, it says, follow His leading. Right? Win the lost, disciple, church plant, follow His leading. Where God leads, God supplies. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. See, now, this goes into the new creature also, that nobody has seen, as many people as says they've seen Jesus Christ, they haven't. Right? We see Jesus Christ here. So you've not seen Jesus Christ. You've not seen Him. Somebody drew a picture of him somewhere. You say, oh, I've seen him. He's in this picture. You probably watched The Passion. That is not what Jesus looks like. He don't look like that. But when somebody looks at you, they should see Jesus Christ. See, we, like I said, we came from a drunkard's background. So people in our family that remember the old drunk Uncle Eric, they have that in the back of their minds that that's what's going to happen again. And it's been, we've been saved for almost 20 years, serving the Lord faithfully since we got saved. But it makes them so uncomfortable, the life change. And your friends that knew you before you got saved, it makes them so uncomfortable, the change that God has made in your life, that your life should be conviction to them. That new creature in Christ Jesus, you look different, hopefully. You look different than what you did when you got saved. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All these things come together into what makes us Christians. Luther would say a Christian is a little Christ. We should be that picture, that illustration of a life changed by Jesus Christ. Man, it's a blessing. We get to do that. We get to do that. He doesn't force us. He doesn't strong arm us. He doesn't twist our arm behind our back. He didn't twist my arm behind my back and say, you go to the mission field or else I'm going to strike you with lightning. He didn't say that. Not that I heard anyway. Hopefully he didn't say that. But it goes back to realizing where he brought us from and where he sent us. And that's the love of Christ. And all things, verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. You see, that's that idea of reconciliation is an amazing thing, right? Because you're enemy parties, right? You get a husband and wife that are fighting all the time, and you get the pastor and the Word of God and the Holy Ghost in the middle of that thing, and they get reconciled together. They get reconciled. They put aside their differences and put Jesus Christ back in the focus of their lives, and things start to go the way that they're supposed to again. That's that idea of reconciliation. But for us, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were at enmity with God. We hated God. We didn't want anything to do with God. And then Jesus Christ swoops in. Somebody comes in with the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you are reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ for eternity. He tells his disciples that where I am, there shall ye be also. That's a... Do you understand how big that is? Where he is, that's where we will be. So people say that, well, we're not going to come back with Jesus at the rapture. Well, if you go up at the rapture, when that second coming, when he comes back down, he's got all the armies behind him. It says that where I am, Jesus says, where I am, there shall ye be also, that we're going to be where he is. That's pretty cool. I don't know what you think about that, but I think that's pretty cool. But because we've been reconciled by Jesus Christ and hath given unto, look what he's given unto us. He's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us something to do. He goes on and says to ambassadors for Christ, but he goes on to here also, to wit, to know that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation. And it's not just speaking it, even though faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. I saw a rack of gospel tracts out there. You know, those things are powerful. We give them out. We give out thousands of those tracts. We put 75,000 tracts in mailboxes all over the Netherlands. We put 13,000 John and Romans in mailboxes all over the Netherlands. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the word of reconciliation. You can say it. You probably should. But if you can't do it yet, give a gospel tract. And then when somebody asks you a question, try to answer it. You've heard messages on the gospel before. A couple, probably. I'm joking there. Yeah, I think you can laugh in church. Probably hundreds over the last few years. You know how to tell somebody to be saved. If you're saved, you know how it happened. That Christ died for your sins according to how that. Very important wording in the King James Bible. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The shedding of the blood. That He was buried, that He was in the tomb, and on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. It's not a matter of our opinion about these things. We have an authority. We have a word that we go back to. See, it's a small W word. It's the Bible that we go back to tell them about Jesus. And you have the ability now, that new creature that you are, that's driven by the love of Christ. You have all those things. I mean, he could take a drunk and send him to a mission field. He could take you and send you across the street, I believe. He made you a new creature just like He made Lisa and I new creatures. Put off all those old things. We don't do... See, I'm almost afraid that I even told you that, because now you're looking at me. Oh, there he's back to being a drunkard. Not in 21 years. We don't even walk down that aisle in the grocery store. The Bible tells us not even to look on it as it moves itself right in the cup. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. You're a new creature. If you're saved this morning, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. He's given you the ability, and He'll reward you for your service. That's how good of a God we serve. He goes on. Now then, this I've been here, I'm coming back. Now then, we are ambassadors. Not that we could be ambassadors. Not that we might be ambassadors. He words these things very, very specific. Now we are ambassadors for Christ. How good of an ambassador are we? Right? This is kind of uncomfortable questions I ask myself when I look in the mirror in the morning. How good of an ambassador are you? Well, as much as I complain getting out of bed, as long as nobody heard me, I can turn this day around. As long as I'm not that kind of ambassador when I get on the train or I get on my bicycle or I go for walking around the city. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now, you are reconciled to God in salvation, but I believe this is reconciling yourself to God daily to serve. 1 John 1:9, for if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a daily repentance. In Lamentations, I believe it says that God's mercies are new every morning. Keep that list of garbage short in your life. Get that stuff confessed to the Lord. Keep your relationship right with God, that you don't lose that power of God in your life. For verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Then verse chapter 6, verse 1, I'll just read one verse. I know we'll be finished up here. We then, as workers together with Him. See, sometimes you get the idea that we're doing it all by ourselves. It ain't working that way, right? When you got saved, you got sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to live inside. He's dwelling inside of you. You're alive to God. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. That He's working with us to do the work. Matthew 28, right? Go there real quick. Jesus promised, where I am, there you should be. Also, He even tells the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, a little push here. We can do great things for God if we'll walk with God. You can do great things for God. That's right. If you'll be unified around the gospel message, around your church, quit letting all that other stuff weed itself in. You bring it in. You bring it in by putting it into your minds, putting it into your eyes, putting it into your ears. That's where the devil, he's very tricky on defeating unity in the body, in the local assembly. But Jesus said, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, look, I am with you part of the time, sometime, always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We're not doing this alone. When we're on the mission field, we know we're not doing it alone because you're praying for us. We want you to know that you're not doing it alone because we pray for you. We're holding the rope for each other that we can get the work of God done here and there at the same time, because he says in Acts 1:8 that it's in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. It's all at once. We need to do it together. Us, people unified in that message, knowing that God is the one that's empowering us all to do it together, being of one spirit, for Christ's sake, not our own. Why? For the love of Christ. We are ambassadors because we've experienced that love. Father, I love you and thank you. I pray that you just bless us to our hearts today. Bless everything that's said and done. The rest of the service. In Jesus' name we ask you. Amen.